When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ooh, welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk some football and some basketball, so buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1, we're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound Bosch. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, because they're free. Sode 336 coming hot at you guys, and Sode 335. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Tossman, the Rock Disopolis, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And what a wild start to the week it's been in the NFL, with Julio Jones now officially on the market. Shannon Sharp, what did you guys think of that? With Shannon Sharp kind of ousting him on live TV. I thought that was kind of whack. And then obviously,
it was ballsy.
It was a ballsy move. And then obviously we have Aaron Rodgers on vacation with his new fiance, Shailene Woodley, and Miles Teller. People have been like speculating why Miles Teller is out there with him, but they forget that Teller and Woodley
are they a throuple?
There's another chick in the mix, is Miles' girlfriend, I guess. But I mean, I'm not up in the tabloids on what's going on there, but I do know for certain
she's not getting a lot of coverage.
No, she's not getting any hype. I mean, she's full on Ringo Starr in this situation. And that's like honestly giving her too much credit. The Woodley and Teller are boys though, from movies. They're friends. So that's the connection there. I don't think Teller and Rodgers are boys. I don't think that's...
Yeah, they got to be now, though, right?
I feel like they're homies now. They went, like, hiking in a waterfall together. You don't just go hiking in a waterfall.
They're boys now. Yeah. Rodgers has a really tight-knit circle, and he wouldn't let Teller in unless he gave him the rite of passage.
Do you guys see...
Or if he was just doing it because of his fiance. You never know.
You think he's a simp lord?
No, I'm just... I don't know. They feel like different vibes. I don't know either of them personally. But Teller is significantly younger than Aaron Rodgers, but so is Shailene Woodley. So clearly, that's no issue for Rodgers to hang out with younger folks.
Yeah, I don't think he's significantly younger. Miles Teller's 34.
Oh, really?
Is he? Does he just have a baby face still?
He's a baby face. They're 3 years apart.
Oh.
Okay.
They were in the high school together, technically. Not at the same high school, of course, but they had a year crossover in high school. So I guess it's not that far fetched. It's cool for Miles Teller to be boys with Aaron Rodgers, of course, not the other way around. Or is it like cool for Rodgers to be boys with Teller too?
I think it's both pretty cool. I mean, I think Teller's established himself now as a pretty dominant actor. You know, I think he has done some roles that have kind of put him apart from, you know, the young crowd. It's no longer like the Project X Miles Teller, like he did Whiplash and got some recognition, and obviously he's going to be in Top Gun, and he's gonna make some noise.
Yeah, are we going to sit here, though, and pretend that Miles Teller in Project X wasn't the best version of Miles Teller? We watched that movie.
That was the best version.
We watched that movie the other night.
USC baseball player?
Yeah, we watched that movie the other night, and it was electric. It's ironic. We watched that movie the other night, and there was a Project X in Huntington Beach, which Adrian's kickback, which one of Toss and I's roommates was like so down. He wanted to go so badly, and I just kind of put the kibosh on Adrian.
Something like over 100 people were arrested, which is pretty wild. I saw some videos, at least detained. I don't know if they like actually were brought up on charges or anything like that, but I saw a video in the middle of the street. And someone dropped a firework, like a big firework, like one that you should only watch, you know, from a boat that's shooting them, you know, off the coast or whatever. And there were like cop cars and it was mayhem, absolute mayhem. But the interesting thing about Miles Teller in Project X, his name is Miles Teller in that movie. So to show you where his stardom was at that time, he didn't actually have a character name.
Yeah,
actually,
a couple of those guys were like that. A couple of those guys had the same first name, at least.
I think it's because it was kind of like they wanted to make it look kind of like a documentary style, you know, where it's like they want real people, not actors. So, I mean, all those guys got their start. I mean, I don't know what the other, like the three main characters are doing now, but they were technically no names before Project X.
Thomas Mann, who plays Thomas Cobb, the lead character, is a quite successful actor.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff. And the other guy who plays Costa or whatever, I'm pretty sure he plays one of the serial killers in Mindhunter.
Does he? I hadn't seen him in anything else.
He plays Son of Sam. He plays Son of Sam.
Oh, yeah, he does. That's right.
Right?
Is that season two?
Yeah, season two, episode four.
And they're doing a big Son of Sam
Netflix documentary right now.
Yeah.
I heard it was freaky as hell. I mean, you couldn't get away. That guy, I heard he used to just walk up to people and just pop them.
Shoot him in the face. Like couples in cars in not broad nightlight, basically. So like in the middle of the street, which obviously, you know, camera recording now wouldn't allow for something like that to happen. But yeah, that guy's really, I've only watched the first episode of that. It's scary stuff, pretty dark. So be warned. If you're going to check that out, just know what you're getting yourself into.
Not for me. Could there be a serial killer nowadays? Is that possible? I mean, I just feel like I haven't heard anything. I mean, I know there could be, but like, the last one I heard, we had one in Long Island in high school who would kill like strippers and bury them on the beach or the Gilgo Beach. And I thought I had this huge theory. I had a huge theory. It was my substitute science teacher. Like, a huge theory. Like I was like,
did they ever catch the guy?
They never caught him. But our substitute like research teacher, he knew so much about it. He was a lifeguard at that beach over the summer. He drove a very similar car to the car that was speculated. I was like dead convinced. And I told one of my teachers, I keened him in on this. And he's like, you're crazy. And then a week later, he's like, dude, I think you're onto something. And I'm like, I know. And so obviously he was never caught. Never heard from that teacher again. He definitely did it.
Yeah, quite possible. Which let's make a documentary.
Yeah, it's to going back in time to find my science teacher by the Charity Stripe. Speaking of the Charity Stripe, is Rodgers going to be back at the Packers? Where are you guys leaning on that? Because everyone is and their mother speculating. There was rumors that he's like starting the super team. Now Julio's on the market, and I want to hear where you want Julio to go and where you think he's going to go. Could they team up in Green Bay?
I guess anything's possible. Anything's conceivable. And I think if Green Bay wants to keep Rodgers happy, then going after Julio would be a good move. I mean, think about a wide receiver core with Devonta Adams and Julio Jones. That'd be pretty dominant. It'd be one of the best we've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I personally think that Julio should go to another team, in the Titans or the Chargers. Those are my two landing spots for him. And as a Chargers fan, it'd be awesome, but they're opening up as the favorite right now for him to be playing week one. They're both plus 500 with him, with the Falcons and the Chargers. And I think that, you know, Julio knows that it's a young core there, you know, a new head coach. It's an appealing city, Los Angeles. I think he wants to get a change of scenery. You know, obviously Herbert coming off an amazing year, new quarterback. I think he likes the offense there too. So that'd be a good landing spot. But I did see that audio message that AJ Brown left in Julio Jones' DMs on Instagram, which is pretty cool. The power of social media these days, I mean, literally there's nothing that's behind closed doors. So Seeing them team up together would be pretty awesome as well.
Would that be the best duo in the league, Julio and AJ?
I mean, yeah, I think honestly, wherever Julio goes, it's going to be the best duo. Whether it's Green Bay, whether it's the Titans, whether it's the Chargers, that will be the best duo in the league because they got Keenan Allen, you got AJ Brown or Devontae Adams.
So you already have three top 10 receivers across the board there. I think the issue is he wants to win, and I think there's a clearer path to win, no offense, Nick, via Tennessee than Chargers. I would love for him to go to the Chargers for you and for
disagree.
Herbert. How do you disagree with that? That's not, I mean, Mahomes is there. You're never going to win that division, at least in the next couple years. No chance.
I disagree. I mean, by your rationale, Chargers can make the wild card, right? But if you're in the AFC, you're still going to have to go through Mahomes no matter what.
But at least
so
you can
whether
get the division
it's on the Titans or on the Chargers. I'm sorry?
You have a better chance of winning your division as the Titans right now even than the Chargers did.
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't mean shit if you're winning your division and not getting to the Super Bowl. Either way, you're going to have to get through Mahomes.
Yeah.
So does it really matter what AFC team you go to?
No, and I don't think they'll trade him. Well, I mean, at least he'll have the
home
field.
If you're looking at longevity, let's say Julio wants to play for another 4 to 5 years, would you rather play with Herbert or Tannehill for the next 4 to 5 years?
You would rather play with Herbert, but I don't think Tannehill is like it's not Tannehill of old. I mean,
Tannehill's a good quarterback, but he's older. He's proven to be injury prone. I don't necessarily know that it's the – I mean, Nashville's cool and all, but, like, I feel like Julio wants a change of scenery. He doesn't want to stay in the South. He wants to go to a bigger market.
I would love
– One thing that the Titans have going for them is that the head coach of the Falcons was previously the OC for the Titans. They have a good relationship. Who knows if he can maybe squeeze more out of that deal in comparison to the Chargers. You never know, right, with those negotiations. But certainly they've got good rapport. Arthur Smith has good rapport with the Titans. So not to say that that's exactly where he's going to go. I've heard other spots as well. San Francisco has a lot of space. They have a lot of cap space. They can certainly afford him. And, you know, any team, like you guys are saying, like any team, if he goes to San Francisco, I don't think they have the best duo, but like he's such an added value to any roster offensively.
Well, can we kind of qualify the duo of Kittle and him?
Sure. Sure.
Then maybe it is like a top tier. It's like the equivalent of like Hill and Kelsey almost, in a sense.
Yeah,
for sure.
Now let me ask you this though, Nick. First round pick, would you give that up for Julio? Your Chargers.
Yeah, I think I would, but only a first round pick. I don't think we're adding anything else in there.
Yeah, no. Toss, is that like, does that resonate
with
you?
I'd be more inclined to give up Mike Williams in like a second or a third.
Yeah, Mike Williams is a disappointment. Not because he stinks, because he's always hurt. Because
he can't stay healthy. No, I understand that. And I was talking about that the other day with somebody, and it's just because he's laying out for balls all the time and trying to make these, you know, these really high probability or these low probability catches.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of going up for the balls and diving and stuff. But I don't think that the Falcons are going to want to trade Julio unless they're getting something in return this year. I think it's going to end up being obviously for future draft picks, but also they're still in win now mode. I mean, they're putting all their chips in Matt Ryan and this new head coach. Like, they want to win now. So they're not going to just let Julio go and not get anything in return. Like, they want to fill some holes.
I mean, yeah. Mike Williams.
I mean, I will say Mike Williams in a two is a good trade. I think from the Chargers side, if you can retain Mike Williams and have him, Keenan Allen, and Julio Jones, and maybe he can learn a thing or two from Julio Jones about being a big bodied receiver and not getting injured. You know, Julio has had his injury woes here and there, but for the most part, he's been pretty consistently out on the field, which would be cool. It would be cool to see them together. Cause I really am. I think we're all fans of Mike Williams. Cause when he does play, he's really exciting and really fun to watch. But Calvin Ridley is going to be their one, no matter what, even if Julio is playing. I think he would make that jump if he stays on the Falcons roster to, I could be wrong. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but performance wise, he blew him out of the water last year. Right.
Yeah. I mean, Julio was not on the field as much, but Calvin Ridley did have right. better numbers. And I think Nick, when we're doing the draft, I mean, who was your Kyle Pitts comp?
Going to the Falcons.
And it was Julio Jones. You thought that was next Julio Jones. So they've already have him there. I mean, he's gonna get. He's will not be a Falcon. I'm more confident in him being gone than Rodgers.
Well, he already said no. He already told Shannon Sharp on the phone. He goes, "Yeah, I'm out of there."
Yeah, so he's. Like, I think the +500 bet of the Falcons is kind of ridiculous. The Patriots have been floated. I'd be shocked if Belichick pulled that move, especially with the cap. But I think it's the Titans, the Niners, and the Chargers, with the Ravens as a dark horse, I'd say.
Yeah, the one thing about I like those picks. I like the Ravens dark horse. The one thing about the Rodgers whole conundrum is that he's really pointing out that it's based off of culture, right? Like that's why he's unhappy and why he's dissatisfied is that culture is a big thing for him. But he doesn't have. I don't want to put a clock on his career because obviously Brady's almost in his mid 40s. He's almost 45 and he's still doing it. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
But Rodgers is up there in age, right? I mean, he's only 4 years older than Miles Teller, and all that to say, like, if he goes somewhere new, how does he know that it's going to be a good cultural fit for him? Like, it feels like you're going to have to feel that out, and maybe it's okay, I know that the fit is not in Green Bay, and I need to get out of here, but he might have to be more selective and take a little bit more time with this decision than. Rushing into something and making sure he's just out of there by the time the season starts.
Culture can mean a lot of different things, though. Culture could also mean just the city itself. I mean, I hate to say it, but we all know Green Bay is not the most poppin' place, and he's marrying a celebrity, a big actress, and being closer to her and being closer maybe to the entertainment industry. We saw that he was hosting Jeopardy, and he's been making some more public appearances. So maybe he wants to go to a city where he can kind of be more in the limelight now and not be hidden away in Green Bay. I mean, yeah, it's a historic franchise. It's the Green Bay Packers. But going to a city like New York, we've mentioned the Giants would be great because, the entertainment pops off there. But also even a place like Las Vegas. I mean, it's not that far away from L.A., it's, pretty close to home from where he's at in the Bay Area. I think that those two teams are definitely teams that, should at least consider it. I mean, Gruden is very unpredictable, and I mean, I've never really been that big of a believer in Derek Carr. So maybe if they can swing something that second they should that do vote. That.
Well, I think he did make a statement just about like culture and organizations and I won't do the entire quote, but, history is important and legacy of so many people who've come before you, but the people, that's the most important thing. The people make an organization, people make a business, and sometimes that gets forgotten. Culture is built brick by brick, the foundation of it being the people. So I do think that for him, like if I'm looking where he's going to go, it's probably going to be where he's going with someone who he's comfortable with, right? Like, I don't know exactly who that's going to be, but that's what I would look for. And Gruden has a really like tight grip on everything that goes on in his organization. And he has a very particular culture. And I don't really think that Aaron Rodgers aligns with it.
I think the Raiders are a mess, a low key mess, not a high key mess. I think there's teams obviously that are in worse situations. I think they draft quite pitifully oftentimes. I don't think Mayock's got a good grip on what's going on there at all. I don't foresee them kind of getting past that 9-8. They're not winning 10 games. This year, he needs to go to a team that once he gets there, they could conceivably win 12, 13 games. And I think the team that makes the most sense is the New York Football Giants. The football team's culture has kind of turned around, but it's always on shaky ground. I think that would be my second pick. Denver makes no sense because Vic Fangio's job, he's on a tight leash. And again, it's the Mahomes and Herbert effect. Now you have to go against Herbert as well. It's like that division's become extremely tough. And they're not going to go, there's no other real team that's going to, everyone's pretty much set at quarterback. A lot of the teams drafted guys or have guys in place. There's not many teams that really need that quarterback. The Texans don't have the capital to go get him, and there's no shot in hell he's going there. It's really the teams that don't have a good, stable quarterback are the football team and the Giants. And those are the only teams that can really conceivably go out and get him. I mean, the Eagles maybe. But I'm sure they're going to give Hurts one more go. I mean, I know the Giants are going to try to give Jones one more go. But the Giants, they have a clock on them. With their best offensive player has a clock all of a sudden. So you really have to go get him. And the limelight thing and the entertainment thing makes sense. Forgive me if I'm missing a team that's got a paltry QB situation. But those two teams are the two top teams that come to my mind.
No, I think you hit everyone. I think the only other thing would be a team making a kind of wild, crazy move and giving up more than we, us outside looking in, thinking what they would give, right? Like a team like the 49ers, even though they just drafted a new quarterback and weirdly like packaging Lance and other stuff to go get Rodgers. Like it could, I don't think that's going to happen, but like you can't take that consideration out of things for any of the NFL teams when it's a guy like Rodgers that you're talking about trading. I mean, you think about the Anthony Davis trade in the NBA way back when on the Pels. It was kind of like everyone was entertaining it for a little while. The Lakers were talking about that trade a year before they even actually made it.
Yeah, very true.
So I do think that he'll be in Green Bay this season, though. That's my gut check.
I think it's a good gut check.
I think honestly, like if something was going to happen, it should have been before the draft. Because I mean, the draft capital, the value of that is just, that's what really can get Rodgers. I mean, what are you going to be able to give up right now? I mean, obviously you can give up future picks, but I think the Packers want to win now as well. So
they would have wanted to retool right then and there. They would have had wanted to have reinforcements right then and there, not in the future where they can't implement it right away and they're kind of tanking this year almost. Cool. We'll go quick hitters, NBA, game twos. A couple game twos have happened. We're recording on Wednesday, obviously, so the Wednesday slate, we won't have knowledge of what's gone down thus far. Miami versus Milwaukee. Milwaukee's up 2-0. You guys say crazy or sensible? My take is that it doesn't go past game five. Crazy or sensible? Nick?
Sensible.
Toss?
Sensible.
Sensible. I think that first game was a huge test, and Miami needed that game. The Bucks are the better team. They were in the regular season. They still are right now. Things are looking different with Drew Holiday at the way that he's playing instead of Eric Bledsoe. This is a deep team. They know who they are, and finally they've come ready to compete in the playoffs. I love that. You like in retrospect, we look at the end of the Bucks season. They played really well at the end of the season, but they weren't chasing a record of being the number one team in the East. They're playing within themselves and they're ready to strike. I'm excited for this team.
And they're finally giving Middleton the ball at the end of the game. It's not Giannis's show come last 2 minutes, and that's okay. It's Middleton's time to hit that shot, and I love that he hit that in game one. Game two, they obviously dominated. They're going to Miami. I think Miami can nab a game, but I think that Bam, Giannis has come to play, and Bam has his hands full, as good of a defender as Bam is, and Jimmy Butler has kind of been nowheresville.
Portland, I like the Bucks in five. Bucks I like in Bucks five. In five.
Cool. Portland-Denver. It's tied 1-1. Here's my take, sensible or crazy. This is going to be the only series in round one that goes to seven games. Nick.
I think that's crazy.
Okay. Okay.
But I do think it'll go seven. But I think that there's other okay, matchups.
So that one is. Is there any matchup in particular that you think will also go to seven off the top of your head?
Well, I think at the top of my head, obviously, you know, Clippers are 0-2 right now against the Mavs. I think they're going to even it up, and they're probably going to take it all the way. Who's going to win? I don't know, but I think that the Clippers have a lot left. Kind of got to do some gut checks and some looking in the mirror. But we could talk about that after because I'm sure you have another take. But yep. I also think that even the Suns and the Lakers series is getting really feisty.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Suns, the question of Chris Paul's health is a big concern for me as far as, you know, what that rest of that series looks like. Obviously, the Lakers do this all the time. LeBron, in general, has done this all the time where he just – all of a sudden, they look amazing, right? They look terrible. They look really, really terrible. They lose in game one. Everything's chaotic. Anthony Davis is trash, like
horrible.
Actual trash. And then in game two, he goes to the line 21 times and he hits 19 free throws. And it's like, oh, why don't you do that every game? So I think that kind of push and pull that Nick's talking about could take this series to seven. It could go that far. It's I don't want to like recency bias feels like the Lakers are going to win this series and not in seven, but that's just because they won last night. So I don't want to look too much into that one game. Because Devin Booker can go off just like Anthony Davis did. So I like those two series going to seven. I think that the Clippers taking the Mavericks to seven is a ludicrous take, but I appreciate the pride in your team, Nick.
we'll get there. So, but to the, you think there's other games that can go. So you're going to go crazy with that take on the Portland Denver.
Yeah. But I do think that they could go seven.
Okay.
No, I like that. I like that. They could definitely go to seven. I don't really know what to make of this series right now.
Okay.
Been after two games.
It's fun. I mean, yeah. Different style of ball for sure.
It's,
yeah.
It's different. I think that we're watching two of the most exciting offensive players square off, but they're not the typical type of – one of them at least is not the typical type of exciting offensive player you'd anticipate.
And I love watching Dame in the fourth quarter. Like, it's – honestly, I like watching Dame when they're down because he just sprays from three.
Yeah, and it everywhere and from deep and from deep and fearless.
And you know what's coming and he still does it, and you're like, he's going to sidestep for like a 30-footer. He's going to do it. No, he took like a – he took like a 20 seconds into the shot clock, like 36 footer from the logo in the game, in game two. And I was like, and it went in, it was a swish and it didn't even look effortless. And I was just like, I can't believe that's a good shot for someone in the NBA, but it is. For and him. There's two guys in the NBA for him and Steph. And I would take them taking that open shot over a lot of other looks. A lot of other looks. It's crazy.
It's over Jay Crowder corner three wide open based on the game two of the Suns. All right, this is an easy one. Crazy or sensible? My Celtics getting swept.
Sensible.
Bring out your brooms.
Yep. Cool. I don't think we. I think they should just sit Tatum at this point. I hate to fold like that, but it's a joke. We're not. I mean, that was the game one when they were, had the 104. You held the Nets to 104, and that was your chance to win, and you missed it. So. Let's see if we could maybe nab one in the garden. Doubt it. Okay, I'm going to combine both LA teams. Crazy or sensible, but that both of the LA series only go to five games.
Crazy. We already just touched on it. So.
Man, I know, Nick, you kind of we touched on it, but is that it's how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how crazy is that for you, Nick?
I think it's like an 8.
Ooh, okay. Toss.
Well, we're headed back to LA in the Lakers series. It's 1-1. If they get two more games, all they have to do is go back to talking stick and get one more. So I think it's pretty feasible.
Okay.
The Mavs took two games in LA. I was at that second game yesterday. There might've been more Lakers fans than there were Clippers fans.
How was that game? Was it fun as fuck?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an electric game. Luka played like Luka does basically every game. What happened was the rest of the Clippers, no one helps Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard's an amazing player. He has no help.
Yeah, no help from his coach either. I think what it comes down to is that Ty Lue is an idiot. I mean,
right.
How
are you that coach is going to take them to seven? No chance. Okay, no chance.
Yeah, you still have to consider that Kawhi and Paul George are still on that team, and maybe someone bumps him on the head and he knocks some sense into him. But you're paying Luke Kennard $45 million and he hasn't played a single playoff minute. Serge Ibaka got like 6 minutes. Boogie Cousins isn't playing at all. I mean, what are those guys there for?
Because they don't know who they are. They do not know who they are. And you know who knows who they are? The Mavericks. They know exactly what their team is. They know exactly what they want to do. And bring out your brooms for them because they're sweeping the Clippers. You're in Dallas. You got home court for the next two games. I think that you saying that they're going to seven is the craziest take of any NBA take you can make right now.
I don't know, outside of saying
the Celtics will win the series, because that's
we're gonna save this audio and it's gonna be hilarious when it goes to seven games.
The way the Clippers, we've been saying it all year, the Clippers, first of all, continue like the first game one, lazy start out of the gate. We saw that. They don't know who they are because they have no continuity, because they are never on the court together at the same damn time. And I'm with you, Nick, that Ty Lue absolutely stinks. And I said that the moment they hired him and the moment they fired Doc Rivers, that was a mistake. They should have ran it back with Doc, because clearly it's working in Philly, because Doc Rivers has a ring that he, I think, earned more than Ty Lue did. And Ty Lue is not the head coach for this. Ty Lue's not the head coach. He's not a head coach. And the Clippers made a mistake. They hired someone's friend. And that's not how you win. I mean, I'm with you. The Kennard thing is like, I was watching with our buddy D-Car, back with him, and we were like, where is Kennard? He's like, nowhere to be found. I mean, Terrence Mann has taken his minutes. Reggie Jackson played 30. I mean, he shot the ball well. Like, are we really justifying?
Like more than Rondo, though.
Batum being out there for 20 minutes? 20 minutes Batum is out there. I mean, Paul George.
He played 35 minutes in the first game.
Morris did nothing. Zubac did nothing.
I mean, Pat Bev is, I love his fire. He's not good. You can't. I mean, no one can guard Luka, but you really can't put a 6'2" point guard on him. You just can't, because he's gonna back. He's gonna back him down. He's gonna put him. He's gonna make an easy layup over him, or more often than not, an and one. Those guys just can't guard him.
That's like why you have Batum in there, I guess, to give the length on Luka. But I mean, that doesn't do anything either. You really have to have Kawhi or Paul George and Luka Doncic, or you're not. You have no chance.
They should be switching on him on and off. Whoever is on the court, whichever one of those two guys, should be on Luka every defensive possession.
And then you put Pat Bev on Timmy Handjobs, who, by the way, torched the Clippers.
Yeah, he's the fourth. He was the fourth best player on the court. And I think I texted our buddy Brandon this last night. From the best that I could see, the top seven players on the court, two of them were Clippers, and the rest of the five were Mavericks. And that's a problem. And there was Kawhi has no help. He's a tremendous player. There's few players that I'd want at the end of NBA playoff games that Kawhi Leonard, the mid-range, the ability to get into his shot, his finishing ability at the rim, his patience, his defensive length. He's tremendous, but he literally had no help. I mean, he scored like 18 in the first quarter. He ended up with 42 or something like that. Like, the guy's trying his best. Help him out.
Well, Paul George had 48. I mean, I'm sorry, 28 points. So, I mean, he showed up. But like the rest of the team, Morris, nothing. And they're thin. They're really all of a sudden, they have Ibaka. Like, we were all high, and like, they added all these players. They're really thin. The loss of Harrell, their loss of Harrell was huge. It's a huge loss. It's a huge offensive loss.
Yeah, I don't know why. Zubac and Ibaka aren't getting more run, because Zubac has been super effective against the Mavericks in previous series. But yeah, it'll be fun to pull that audio. And Nick, maybe it'll be I told you so, but I would be very surprised. I am a massive Mavs fan, as you guys know, but I've watched both games very intently, and to go and take two games as an opposing team and really beat them, like, not like end of the game, Luka hits a three, like, both games commanding victories, where I felt as a fan, like, there was pretty much any time the Clippers cut the gap, the Mavericks had an answer, that they will win the series. The sweep might be a little ambitious, but I do think that it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Nice. Noise. All right.
I also think that the Grizzlies Jazz series, I'm puzzled by and I'm excited for. And I don't know, that one could go a lot deeper than you think it could.
I think the Knicks Hawks can go kind of deep. I think the Philly Washington one, and I think that Memphis Utah one will also be five. I think that with Spider not being there was a major effect. I know you think that it doesn't matter as much. I think it's going to be one of those situations similar to how, like, Orlando got that one game against Milwaukee last year at the top, and I think Utah is going to come and just really start taking care of business. Did it with Philly. The Philly situation is going to be quick.
That series is going to six at the bare minimum.
The Philly series.
No. The Grizzlies Jazz series.
Okay. We'll see. A lot of differentiating opinions here. We're going to let everyone rock and roll. Are we brought to you by anybody, any sponsors, anybody you want to shout out, Toss?
I mean, playoff basketball is going on. So go put those bet ins at betonline.ag. I hammered parlay over with the Moneyline Mavericks, and I made a killing last night, and it was great to see the Mavericks do their thing. And I'm going to go collect my dough at betonline.ag, baby. Let's go.
Nice. Very nice. All right, fans out there, drag both feet around, swing on the full count, rip that puck at the putt. Hit your PKs because they free, hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We love you. Good day.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.